Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of National Board Conversations. We have another great episode with an NBCT doing the work here at the National Board. Michelle Accardi is the Senior Director of Strategic Partnerships and leads a fantastic team of people doing grant work to increase the number of NBCTs nationwide. Michelle has such an incredible story, and I learn something new from her every time we speak.
You know, that was, it was gut-wrenching. I remember about 2 weeks before I packed up everything and my husband and I left to DC, just sitting on a table in my classroom after school, just bawling my eyes out because I didn't want to leave. And it was so hard to leave these kids. And I, you know, had a meeting with the school psychologist who told me that based on a number of factors that he was predicting that at least three of my kids would attempt suicide after I left.
She's certified in exceptional needs and is currently working through her maintenance of certification. She's a powerful storyteller, so I won't keep you any longer. Here's my conversation with Michelle Accardi. Michelle Accardi, how you doing today?
I am great, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing well. I feel like I've had to have you on the podcast for a long time. You're one of my favorite people to just chop it up with. Not National Board related, but just like anything world related. So I just love talking to you because you just bring so much insight to any conversation we have.
The feeling is totally mutual, Eddie. I just really enjoy your podcast.
Thank you. All right, so we'll get started. Can you tell us your current role and give a brief intro of yourself?
Sure. I am currently the Senior Director for Strategic Partnerships here at the National Board. I am very fortunate to work remotely, full-time remote, from my home here in Gulfport, Mississippi, about 4 miles from the beach. So that's always, it's always inspirational to know the beach is there, even though I am always here at my computer. So, and I am working with a great team of folks, and we oversee several different grants around the country. Which is fabulous because it gives us the opportunity to interact with just about everybody at the National Board and so many teachers from all around the country. So it's a fabulous place to be.
Love it. Love to hear it. All right. So what are your three favorite foods?
Three favorite foods. Well, coffee has to be like the number one because I'm nonstop without with coffee. I just got an espresso machine, so I'm fully wired at all times.
Oh, man.
And honestly, macaroni and cheese goes way back.
Okay.
That's something my mom used to make, you know, when you were a kid and you weren't feeling so good or whatever. She'd make macaroni and cheese.
Bake their box.
Oh, she would bake it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I will take a box if that's all that's available, but, you know, you gotta get serious about it. Macaroni and cheese down here in the South. So, and probably anything chocolate after that, a good old Reese's peanut butter cup will do. I'm not the most healthy vegetarian. I don't eat meat. I like lots of candy.
I keep Reese's and sweets out of my house because I had cavities when I was a kid. And like, listen, I would just eat them all. So it's like all or nothing. It's nothing in my house. I don't want no more cavities.
Yeah, it's hard to do those when you're rock climbing, right? You got to keep everything going.
Difficult. All right. So the last three songs on your music playlist.
Gosh, you know, I don't really know that I have a playlist. I sometimes will get one of my kids or my granddaughter to download some music for me. But for the most part, I'm I read a lot. You know, the only time I really listen to music, honestly, is when I'm on an airplane.
All right. So hit us with the last book you read.
The last book that I read was one that I reread called Elephant in the Classroom by a good friend and NBCT, Andrew Maxey from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay. And then the one sports team that has your heart, if not sports, one movie you can recite line for line.
Dude, it's got to be Roll Tide, University of Alabama. Both my parents attended the University of Alabama, and I have several family members that went there. So, and it's you know, a little school in Alabama that has a fairly successful football team.
I mean, that's what Alabama got to be proud of, right? It's like, listen, Alabama football is what we do.
Absolutely. They take football very seriously down here in the South.
Man, listen, I want to get to a game out at Alabama. I went to one at LSU my freshman year of college. Man, it was a different environment.
Yeah, definitely crazy. Well, we'll have to see if we can get you hooked up with some tickets. I've got a cousin over at the university, so we'll see what we can do.
Oh, man, listen, sign me up. All right. So can you share why you became a teacher and why you remain connected to education?
Yeah, I actually kind of fell into education. You know, I was in another field and got, you know, together with my husband, and he had two very young children at the time. And I started volunteering in their classrooms and just absolutely fell in love with it, and found that I was, you know, rescheduling appointments, sometimes rearranging hearings to make sure that I was there for the volunteer Wednesdays. And so we talked it through, and I went through a program for people who were transitioning from one career into education, and completed that program in, it was about 17 months, I think. And the day after I got my certificate, the principal of the elementary school across the street from my house came over, knocked on my front door and said, "Hey, I heard that you got your teaching license. Would you like to teach fifth grade?" So it was meant to be, I guess, because
didn't even have to apply.
Wound up over there teaching, and just absolutely loved it.
So what keeps you connected to education now that you're not in the classroom anymore?
You know, a couple different things. Of course, I get to talk to teachers from all around the country, and I'm doing my maintenance of certificate for National Board this year. So that's got me doing some lesson planning and working through some things. My youngest daughter is a National Board certified teacher in Austin, Texas, and she is in the same certificate area that I am. So we will occasionally, you know, talk through situations in her classroom, what's going on with students. And then, of course, a primary driver is I have the world's most spectacular granddaughter. And Cicely is a seventh grader, just about to be an eighth grader. And so really watching what goes on at her school and how the teachers are doing just amazing things with technology and, you know, really working through so many different things keeps me on my toes.
Hey, Cicely, be keeping you on your feet.
She does. It's a very different world being 13 now than it was even back when her mom was a teenager. Things have changed
probably
so much.
Even back when I was a teenager. So while you were in the classroom, you pursued board certification. You mentioned that you're going through maintenance certification now. What pushed you to pursue board certification, and what was your journey like?
You know, someone came to my school and did a information session. It was actually Evelyn Sanchez. Shout out to Evelyn. I call her my National Board Mama. She came out and talked about board certification. And having been in another career where, you know, a credential was the norm, it was expected, you know, that part made sense to me. And then I am not going to lie, Eddie, they said that getting my National Board certification would mean an increase in my licensure rank, and this, it was a $15,000 a year pay raise. And I was like, giddy up. So, and I have always thought that it, you know, it is so strange to me that a lot of educators will clutch their pearls when you start talking about money being a motivator, but you know, it's real. That's what keeps your family going. It's what keeps you in, you know, a space where you're able to say yes to both your personal children and the children in your classroom. And so I was absolutely like, hey, this is going to be awesome. Let's do it. And I got myself and my teaching partner. We, you know, dove in head first. Now, where things went a little bit off the wheels, that was seeing Evelyn was the last time I saw a board certified teacher until my pinning ceremony. So,
man.
I had no idea what was going on. I, of course, downloaded all the instructions, and this was old school version where you had to put everything in a big box and mail it off, and everything was done on paper. And, you know, so did what I could to prepare, went through the first time. And at the time, you had to get a 279 in order to certify. And when I got my scores back that first time, I got a 278.7. So, man. Which, you know, devastating, but honestly the best thing that could ever happen to me, because I went through that next year really reflecting and refining my practice. And that's where I changed from being someone who was really good at what I did to somebody who was able to see education in a whole new way and see my classroom in a very different way. And, you know, that's, you know, I was fortunate to certify that next time. And then the world opened up to me for board certification. But, you know, at that point, even though I worked with some kids who were, in, you know, very, very challenged, I knew every day that I was giving them the best. I was giving them a world-class education. And that just, you know, really kept me going when there were some really difficult, dark experiences for the kids in my class.
Yeah, and I think that instills like a level of confidence in you too, right? It's like, all right, if you know you're giving them the best that you got because you've been certified, like, you know, then these kids are going to benefit at some point from how I'm help, how, like, how much effort I put into myself to help them.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, in my position, in my work at the National Board, I could spew all the statistics and all the research stuff, but it really does. It's a feeling that is instilled in you. And, you know, so many educators suffer from imposter syndrome or just are constantly berated with people from all aspects of life telling you that teaching is not enough and that teachers are not, you know, a respected profession. And having the certification and maintaining that certification really does give you a foundational place to say, you know, this isn't me just sitting in a classroom and getting a nice review from my principal who likes me. It's telling me in a very scientific way, in a very, you know, psychometrically and legally valid way that I am providing what a teacher should know and be able to do. And that I still, you know, I still got it. That's what I would get for my maintenance of certificate.
All right. So how, you touched on it a little bit. How did becoming an MBCT impact your career?
In a couple of different ways. I mean, in my classroom, I was working at the time with children who were behaviorally or psychologically identified as needing special services. And these were tough kids. You know, to be in my classroom, you had to have spent at least a year in a psychiatric hospital. You had to have been arrested at least once. And I was teaching third, fourth, and fifth grade. So, you know, these were kids who really brought big backpacks of baggage with them. And they also had learning differences. So with board certification, you know, we got the confidence. But the other thing that it did is it opened me up to a whole group of educators that were also exceptional needs specialists, National Board. And, you know, at that point, there were times when I might have reached out to somebody by email and said, hey, I see you're a National Board certified teacher in, you know, exceptional needs. Have you ever come across this? What do you think about that? And so it opened up a branch of colleagues for me that was completely new. And then I did get involved with the New Mexico Network. I went to my pinning ceremony, and at the end, I went up and, you know, shook one of the officer's hands and said, you know, thank you so much. And is there anything I can do to get involved and support the network? And they were like, sure. And so I became a candidate support provider, specializing in teachers who were advanced candidates who had, you know, submitted once and were going to continue their journey. And, you know, the rest is history, so to speak. They had me go to a couple of National Board political events in DC. And shortly thereafter, the then director of policy asked me to submit to become a staff member at the National Board. So that was 12 and a half years ago, and I have not looked back.
So, and here you are. So,
here I am.
So why did you leave the classroom?
You know, that was, it was gut-wrenching. I remember about 2 weeks before I packed up everything and my husband and I left to DC, just sitting on a table in my classroom after school, just bawling my eyes out because I didn't want to leave. And it was so hard to leave these kids. And I, you know, had a meeting with the school psychologist who told me that based on a number of factors that he was predicting that at least three of my kids would attempt suicide after I left. And, you know, that's hard. That's kids' lives. And two of the kids actually did make the attempt. Thank God they survived. And credit to my, you know, educational assistants who were so key in working with these kids. And the other one got so violent with his foster home that he was removed and placed in state care. So I carry those kids with me in my heart. And, you know, I am not at National Board to play around. Everything that I do has to be worth those kids' grief. And, you know, what I could have done for them, I need to do for students all around the country. So, it was the mothership calling me home, and it's a fabulous place to be. And if anybody gets the chance to engage with the National Board on a committee or as an employee, I strongly encourage it. But knowing that the work that I was going to be able to do was going to impact thousands of teachers, thousands and thousands of students, you know, you can't say no to that calling. There are, you know, so many kids who will never have the benefit of a board certified teacher, so many teachers who will never have the benefit of going through the process, that until board certification is the norm, we have to take up that challenge and keep moving forward.
And that sounds very challenging to have, like, dealt with, for like leaving the classroom, students attempting to commit suicide. What other challenges were faced while you were transitioning from the classroom to National Board?
Well, you know, the skills that you have in the classroom don't necessarily immediately translate to skills like, you know, go testify in front of the Nevada State Education Committee on this particular law, or, hey, can you put together a grant application for this or that? But, you know, we're a learning organization, and just have been able to experience so many things, some of which are, you know, have taken advantage of my, you know, personal skills that I brought with me from the classroom and from my other careers. And then, you know, we find a way to make it work. And it can be uncomfortable. You know, teachers are always taking new things on in the classroom, but you, you always have, you know, the opportunity to reach out and get a support network. And that's how we are at the National Board. You know, if there's a challenge, we find a way to network with ourselves, with some other teachers out in the field, and find a way to get it done. So it is an incredible privilege and something I hope to keep doing for a while.
So you talked about it. You've been here for 12 and a half years now. How have you seen the National Board grow over your time?
You know, it's been amazing. The ways in which we've transitioned, I think we've really matured as an organization. You know, the first 30 years, there were obviously a lot of things getting done in terms of setting up processes and procedures and whatnot. And those are, you know, great valued years. But under the leadership of Peggy Brookins and with the team that we have in our senior leadership now, we've really taken some hard looks at ourselves and at the profession. And we have started doing some work to make sure that every teacher has the opportunity to become board certified. And it's not something that we just say, it's something we go about doing every day. We are reaching out to teachers. We are working with funders to make sure that finance is not an obstacle. We're working with politicians at every level to make sure that these teachers are going to be recognized and rewarded for what they're doing. And so we are a much more diverse organization, a much more focused organization on the entire spectrum from pre-service through your maintenance of certificate, making sure that everybody gets a chance to be aware of board certification and absolutely to be successful in it. And it's, as you well know, Eddie, it's hard work. We are constantly trying to find new ways to reach people and let them know that, you know, they have a place here at the National Board.
So right. It's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. Like, I love this job. Like, I really do feel blessed to have this job for real. And so that's something that I tell people. I was like, listen, I got lucky getting this job. Like, people ask me, how you get the details? Like, I don't know. I got lucky.
Well, we have a great team, and it's you know, it's such a great combination to have folks like you that are, you know, young and energetic and fresh, and have also lived some of the life that we're, you know, trying to reach to teachers and students, and you know, so it's fabulous. But there are people that I have gotten to know around the country that are like-minded and that are really doing the, you know, doing the same work. And, you know, just the joy of seeing these people and then going, you know, looking back and saying, hey, I remember when you were a candidate and now you're the president of a network. And I remember when we got that law passed in this state, and, you know, just all the different things to see how it's built and grown. And it's been, you know, powerful and challenging, and absolutely blessed is the best word, I think, to describe the way I feel about the work here.
So you have a very unique perspective. You have your Juris Doctorate, I believe that's what it is, your Juris Yes. Doctorate. You're also, so it means you're a lawyer, but you're also an NBCT. So with that perspective, what changes or initiatives do you believe are crucial to improving our education landscape?
You know, there are obviously a lot of angles that people could look at, but I think that we have to get to a place where, you know, it's a slogan I came up with a while back, but we really do have to get to a place where every child in every zip code has access to a National Board Certified teacher. And I say that because we do know the learning advantages that have been research proven for students of board certified teachers. And with the way that the world is talking to each other, the way that the world is, you know, we're competing globally, trying to face challenges that, you know, there have always been challenges, but now we're looking at climate change. We're looking at ways that we can, you know, feed a growing population, all of these different things. And we have to have those teachers. We can't just let groups of students be forgotten because they live in, you know, inner city Chicago, or because they live on the Navajo reservation somewhere. We need everybody to be just absolutely filled with the ability to learn. In addition to that, though, we need to build and rebuild a respect for the profession. You know, many times people, you know, have thought that teaching was an honorable and noble profession, but they, now, you know, they don't want to put their money behind it. They don't want to, you know, be paying the taxes or investing. And so keeping the importance of educators to the front has got to be ongoing work. And board certification can play that role, because when you make the comparison and say, would you take your child to a doctor who wasn't a board certified pediatrician? Everybody's like, well, no, of course not. And it's like, so why are you putting them in a classroom with somebody 8 hours a day who's not a board certified educator? And, you know, it starts to make that connection. And, you know, I have been really fortunate to work on some pretty powerful equity initiatives here. And, you know, that's where my heart is in the work, and just want to continue to be able to do that and work with just amazing educators and funders all around the country to, you know, keep finding these places and identifying ways that we can increase the access and success of teachers and students there.
Nice. So we're coming down to the final stretch. Just a few more questions for you. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite fictional teacher?
Well, that's always an interesting question, because you think about, you know, fictional, like, you know, there's something kind of in the cool factor around is Dangerous Minds and, you know, the movies, Edward Olmos and, you know, Stand and Deliver and all those things. But I was an elementary school teacher, and so gotta love the crazy dresses and the magic school bus and,
yeah, you know, Miss Frizzle
and you know, when I the year they made me teach kindergarten, I actually got a whole wardrobe custom made with all these Miss Frizzle type dresses with, you know, the pictures and the
Are there photos? I need photos.
They are carefully concealed from the world.
All right, so you're down in Gulfport. I was able to visit down there, so I know a couple of restaurants, but you're more of an expert than me. So what are three restaurants down there people should visit when they pull up to Gulfport and go to the beach?
Well, you definitely want to hit up Ground Zero, Blues Club, Really good food. I'm a huge fan of the cracker salad there. And it's a very hip vibe, and you can get some of the best blues and R&B kinds of singers. And you might get a chance to see Morgan Freeman. He does own the restaurant. So that's cool. Also a big fan of Shaggy's, which is actually a chain of a couple of restaurants in different locations down here on the Gulf Coast. They're always right on the beach. So you can sit out there, overlook the beach, watch the brown pelicans diving in, and have some great seafood, or you know, just about great burgers, all those kinds of things. And then there's a place called Salute's, which is an Italian restaurant right across from the beach. And they have just incredible Italian food, but incorporate all the fresh seafood and the great agriculture that comes in. And so we find ourselves down there fairly often, having just a great meal with friends.
Listen, them beaches down there, they're really nice. Them white sand beaches, they're really soft. Like, oh man, it really is really nice. Like that Biloxi Gulfport, if you ain't been, definitely make that trip. It's worth it.
We are a hidden gem down here. We really are.
All right. So if you had to sell the education profession to someone looking to get into it in 1 to 2 minutes, what would you use as your elevator pitch?
The rewards from becoming an educator are incomparable to any other profession. You know, you can be an attorney and impact cases and maybe even case law, but being a teacher gives you the chance to have generational impact on the students in your community and communities around the country and around the world. And it's not just teaching a specific subject. It's certainly not just test scores. It's that moment when you connect with a kid and they get the concept that you're working on, and you see that spark that just flashes in their eyes, and that thrill of confidence that they are a learner and they can take that with them moving forward. And that is just, you know, something that you don't get anywhere else. And it will break your heart. It will challenge every single aspect of your intellect, and you'll find yourself doing things that you never expected to do. I mean, I used to make up rap songs for my kids. I have sung and danced the periodic table, and you know, all these things, but whatever it takes to get that spark of learning in a kid. And it is a profession that you can make a good living at, especially if your, you know, state or district supports board certification and lets teachers get that additional stipend. Here in Mississippi, it's $6,000 to $10,000 additional pay every year. You know, so that's it's definitely worth investing your heart and your soul in.
Appreciate it. So, as you know, we have a feature on the podcast called the Shoulder Tap. When you give a tap on the shoulder and let a colleague know they're ready to become National Board Certified, on here you'll give them a quick shout out, and we'll encourage them through social media to go through the process. So, Michelle, who are you shoulder tapping?
Well, I am going to tell you, I am going to be shoulder tapping the staff at West Harrison Middle School, particularly Ms. Williams, who's an eighth grade English educator. And, you know, they need to dive in as a staff and get board certified. You know, it's the time, and ready to reach out. I drive there probably 4 times a week, so happy to help them out. And West Harrison needs to become the center for board certification in Gulfport.
We're going to send you back with some shoulder tap cards next week.
Yeah, I absolutely need to bring that swag.
All right, Michelle, thank you for joining me on the podcast. This was a good time.
Absolutely enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me, Eddie.
You can tell that Michelle is passionate about getting a National Board Certified teacher in front of every student in every zip code. Let me thank her again for taking the time to join me on the podcast, and thank you for listening to this episode of National Board Conversations. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll see you next time.